better.
Live.
Uncensored.
Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
All right, we are on fire, and we got a number of callers. So, Mike, are you ready for some calls?
I guess I am, as ready as I ever will be.
Time goes by so quickly. We'll try to ask you to limit yourself now, or we'll have to limit you, because we do have a lot of people trying to get through.
So let's keep it. I'm glad you mentioned it.
Let's keep it short, and let's get right to the point, and we'll do that right now. Let's start off with Joe in Rhode Island. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Rick.
Yes.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. Last time I talked to you, you were talking to us on the Providence, Rhode Island radio station where Rick.
Right. Okay.
Rick was. We were talking about the JFK.
Yes.
Story.
The final judgment.
Yes. And Mike, today I'd like to bring up Genesis chapter 4, verse 17, where it says, "Whosoever touches Cain, seven times will come upon his head," the Heavenly Father speaking. This was after he murdered his brother, premeditated murder, the first murder, by the way, for religious reasons. And over in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, it gives a, chapter 2 gives an entire listing of the sons of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 55, at the end of it, it says, "In the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez, the Terethites, the Shimeathites, the Shushathites, these are the Kenites that came of Hamath, the father of the house of Rachab." You know, it's interesting that it gives a big, long listing of the sons of Judah. And guess who was keeping their books and their records and their scriptures? None other than the Kenites, the sons of Cain.
Well, you know what it comes down to, when you have the power to write history or rewrite history as you choose to do it, you can say anything about anything, and that's the official history.
Mm-hmm.
To the victor belong the spoils.
Right.
Yeah, and I know what you're getting at, Joe. You're basically saying that these Kenites who claim they are true Jews are the ones who have taken over what is true Judah. And they have infiltrated the house of Israel, and that is the so-called Gentile nations, as they refer to today, right?
Yes. Well, the Kenites, they're ordained for this purpose. The Father allows them to actually move in and take over.
And the reason being?
And the reason is, his people fall short. In the next verses I'm going to read, show you this.
Uh-huh.
We're going to Jeremiah chapter 35, starting around verse 14. "The words of Jonadab," now this was the son of Rachab. This is continued from that First Chronicles chapter 2.
Right, right.
The Rachabites, who are the family of the Kenites.
Mm-hmm.
You can trace these people all through the scriptures.
Right.
But they're ordained for this purpose. "And he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed, and unto this day they drink none and obey their father's commandments." You see, in John chapter 8, Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil."
Mm-hmm.
And they were of their father the devil. Cain was of his father the devil. And, you know, they are very faithful to their father.
Oh, yes.
Very, very faithful. And that's why the Father was faithful to them. He says, "You'll never have a man to," over in verse 19 of that same chapter, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rachab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever."
Right.
That's right up into the last day of this age.
So, Joe, go ahead quickly, because we're running up against the break, and we have to move along.
These people, you might be calling them the untouchables, but they are the people who, when the true Israel screws up, they're the correction rod for the Father.
I get it. I get you.
You see?
Yes,
so
I do.
This is what's happened. We've actually taken the Kenites, who call themselves our brother Judah, and made them our guidepost. Go to them for guidance.
Yep.
Our religious.
So we're getting what we deserve.
We're getting what we deserve.
I got you, Joe. Thanks for your call. All right. And, Mike, you can comment. We'll be right back. Stay tuned for more.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success Team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yes, we are back. And Mike, I know what the caller Joe is saying, and I'm sure you have seen that now, you know, when the question comes up. How is it that wherever Europeans go and Americans go, you always find this little band of troublemakers from Israel, Zionists, and they always seem to be behind every nefarious deed, whether it's communism, Marxism, Leninism, and so forth. And, hey, you see that, what Joe is saying in the scriptures is that these people are fulfilling their negative role in the plan. And true Israel, and we can get into that sometime, but, you know, the physical sons of Israel, a white race and so forth, the Europeans, are being chastised because they've jumped right into bed with these people, the Kenites, throughout history. And rather than being separate, they've of course, interfaced with them. And Jesus took note of it. He said, this is an adulterous generation. He didn't mean just in marriage, one man with another wife. He meant that the tribes had basically committed the sin of race mixing at that particular time.
You know, Rick, it's very interesting because I remember talking to Joe.
Yes.
When you were hosting your show on WALE,
right.
In I guess it's Providence.
Yep.
And you know, it's funny because I remember that very day talking to him. It was, I can even tell you, it was the summer of 2002. That's what kind of memory I have.
You've got a great memory.
It was a Saturday afternoon, in fact.
Yes, it was.
And I remember saying something on the air at that time that I had never expressed publicly before, and I'm going to repeat it here now because it was Joe who, I guess, inspired me to make this comment, and that was this, that for many, many years, I had been involved in politics, writing about politics, and in a peripheral way involved in politics, you know, in campaigns and so forth. And I always looked at things from, you know, Republican versus Democrat, liberal versus conservative. Mm-hmm. Then I started to look at the power politics involved. And that's primarily what I write about. But it wasn't until just about that time, or maybe a year or two before that, that I began to see that all of these earthly things that I was writing about actually were rooted in spiritual things that went back thousands of years.
Yes.
You know,
amen.
And it was, you know, it was, that was a real discovery for me to understand that, because, you know, I thought I had a handle on things, and, you know, I've never been a religious person in the sense of going to church or, you know, being involved in organized religion. And I was raised in a basic Christian atmosphere, although I never really went to church, and my family were not churchgoers. But as I said in my last, in my program tonight, I mentioned it. It's kind of coincidental that this all comes together, because I said that, you know, there is evil and there is good, you know, however you want to define it. And, you know, you cannot believe in the devil if you don't believe in Jesus Christ.
Right, right.
You know, this is a this battle that we're in, although we're fighting it out here, you know, in a practical level on planet Earth, it's something that reaches far beyond. There is another world. There are other forces out there, and they manifest themselves here on Earth. And, you know, I'll tell you, a few years ago, whenever I was over in Malaysia, somebody said to me, they asked me a question at a big public gathering. They said, you know, you've been taking on the Zionists and they're very powerful. Why haven't they killed you? Yeah. And I said immediately, without missing a beat, and in all sincerity, I said this. I said, well, I said, you know, George Bush says that he's on God's side, but I'm here to tell you, I'm on God's side.
And God's on your side.
That's right. That's right. I'm on the right side. If there's any, if there's anything, if I drop dead right now, if I drop dead here on the floor of my office, I'm pretty confident that I'm going to go to heaven.
Well, you know, that's right. The important thing is you do the right thing and you try to obey to the best of your abilities. No
that's
one
right.
is perfect, but, you know, there are, as you said, forces of evil and forces of good. And that means wherever you find evil, you find the opposite. Wherever you find good, you find the opposite.
Exactly.
We have to choose in this world which side are we going to be on. And are we going to compromise along the way? None of us is perfect, because we're going to have little problems along the way. We don't always do the right thing. We know that. But the major point is, where are your antennae? Are your antennae with the Kenites, with the Neocanes in this group, or are they with Jesus?
That's
are
right.
they with
exactly.
the Father?
Exactly.
And that's what it comes down to. All right, let's take some more calls now. 800-313-9443. And you still with me, Mike?
Oh, I'm here,
okay, I'm hearing some clicking. All
don't
right.
Don't worry about that. I'll all take
right.
care of that.
Oh, gee, okay, I thought it was the Mossad.
It could right. be, but it's not in this case.
Okay, all right. Let's go to Henry in Connecticut next. Hello, Henry. You're on with Mike Piper and Rick Adams.
Yeah, I was going to tell Piper, also anybody out there.
He's still listening. You can talk directly
to
him.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, Mr. Piper, also anybody out there listening, if they, you mentioned 9/11 earlier, all they have to do is dial this number 866-681-2503 and get that book Wrongfully Blamed by Dr. Kasim Khalil.
Mm-hmm.
And that details everything exactly what really happened with 9/11. You know, if they want to get a copy of that book, Wrongfully Blamed, you know,
right.
800.
Wrongly Blamed.
Yeah,
that's,
Wrongly Blamed.
That's a very good book.
Oh, yep. By the way, let me ask you, does the American Free Press, with their book catalog, Do they sell this book?
No. American Free Press isn't carrying that book right now, but I'll tell you what. I think it's Dr. Khalil. Is that the name of the author?
Yeah, Dr. K. We call him Dr. K.
Dr. K. He sent us a copy of that book. That's why I'm familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to recommend that we do carry it because it's one hell of a book.
Yeah, and he's been on our show, as you know, many times.
I wasn't aware of that. In fact, I'll tell you what. I just walked to my bookshelf here, and I just pulled it off the shelf. Dr. Kasem Khalil,
Dr.
K.
Kasem Khalil, K-A-A-S-E-M, and then K-H-A-L-E-E-L, or Dr. K, wrongfully blamed, the new information, the real truth about 9/11 and the London bombings and more. 866-618-2503. That's
866-618-2503. Yeah,
Now, the other thing, the final thing, you mentioned Eisenhower. Well, one of you did, or both of you did. We're talking about Eisenhower. Outside of Lyndon Johnson, who gave us that Immigration and Reform Act of 19, that disgusting piece of legislation on October 3rd of 1965, with the immigration saying only 15% can come from Europe and the other 85% come from third world countries in massive numbers. And that's illegal immigration now, not what we got now with the illegal invasion, which is far worse, in the millions. Eisenhower was a communist, and what he did is he did everything he could to help the communist side, whether it was Russia, Ricky mentioned what he did with the Hungarians earlier.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Well, also... Joseph Stalin was a Jew and a Freemason, and he was a Jew, too. And I think they were working together somewhat, but Eisenhower did everything he could. After World War II, all the brilliant inventions that came out of Germany, you know, under Hitler, from Hitler's scientists, not necessarily Hitler's idea, but his scientists and physicists and so forth, when they took over Germany and, you know, crushed it and everything, they handed over everything to, you know, anything that we got that we were going to use, like the space program, rockets, and so forth, any technology, they handed over, willingly handed everything over to the communists in Russia. And even to this day, the communists and the KGB have access to everything we got in our U.S. Patent Office. Everything.
Yep.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. It's Henry?
Yes, it's Henry.
Yeah,
yes.
As a matter of fact, I mentioned on my show tonight, it just happened to pop up in the course of a discussion. One of my colleagues at the Barnes Review, John DeNugent, has written extensively on that very topic, and I'm going to have him on my show. Rick, you might even want to have him on your show.
Well, I think he's from Rhode Island originally.
In fact, he is, now that you mention it. Yeah,
yeah.
John has written about that that aspect of the seizure of all of these patents and so forth. One thing I want to mention about Stalin, it's very interesting about Stalin. I'm not absolutely convinced that he was Jewish, and let me explain. There's two aspects to this, just for the record. I'd just like to mention this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It appears to me that a lot of the legend, and I use that word legend advisedly here, a lot of the legend about Stalin being Jewish may have actually come from the Trotskyites, because they were trying to turn American nationalists and anti-Semites and other people who were just suspicious of Zionism, they were trying to turn people against Stalin for that reason. However, there is some very strong evidence, which I have seen over the years, and I haven't studied this in depth. I have to qualify it by saying this. This is very interesting, though.
Yeah.
There is some evidence to suggest that Joseph Stalin may actually have been descended from a group of Jews who were known as the Karaites, and these were Jews who rejected the Talmud.
Okay.
And if that's the case, that might help provide some explanation as to why Joseph Stalin, although he may have been of Jewish descent, and as I say, I'm not completely convinced that he was, if indeed he was, that may have been the explanation as to why he was so fervently in opposition to Zionism. Just throwing that out there for consideration.
Yeah. Okay, Henry, thanks for your call. We'll be back with more callers from Mike Piper And we'll do that when we come back in 3 minutes. Rick Adams, only on RBNLive.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
There we go. Back again. Here we are. Calm down now, Marky. All right. Are we back? I'm up and where am I running to? Well, anyway, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Adams and Mike Piper with me. Sometimes the off-air conversation is more interesting than the on-air, but we won't get into that. Right now, Mike, you know, you heard Henry and you responded in kind to his questions, but I'll tell you, we get so many callers, I'm wasting time here. Let me get right back to the phones. How about Jim? You said he would call, and here he is, Jim in Texas. Hello, Jim.
Hello. Well, I think I could explain things a little bit more brief than you fellas have so far.
We got large, big mouths, and that's the problem. Go ahead, Jim.
That's why we have radio shows, and you don't, Jim.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right there, but I would explain it with two statements. One is the old scorpion and the frog.
Yes.
When the frog's going to swim him across the river, he agrees to do it. In the middle of the river, the scorpion stings him. And the frog says, why did you do that? And he goes, that's what scorpions do. That's when we're talking about our canine brethren. You know, Mr. Foxman and the ADL, they do what they do because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. It explains. You don't have to go into the Bible to explain it. They do what they do because that's all they can do.
Well, that's where it comes from, the scriptures.
Absolutely. And as Benjamin Franklin explained it, why he stated there would never be a Jewish state, because he said vampires cannot live off other vampires.
Oh,
they must have a healthy society to live upon.
Mm-hmm.
And to go one more example, there's a bird. It escapes me now the name of the bird that lays its eggs in other birds' nests, and they raise that bird. That is what the American society and the European society, and actually most of the world society, do. Because when you, if you would actually could tap one of these birds on the little wing and say, "Why are you raising a bird that looks nothing like you?" they would give you the dumb look. And, well, that's my bird because I sat on that nest. That's my egg. And that's the problem that you have with people. They don't say, "Well, I'm not a blithering idiot. That's my egg." But mm-hmm. the answer is, yes, you are a blithering idiot. You're raising that other bird's egg. And to me, that explains the whole thing and why you can't get across to people, because they won't admit that, wait a minute, I'm an idiot. I've been sitting on that other bird's egg and raising it and getting worms for it and the whole bit. But it's not my bird, because it must be my bird. It was in the same nest I was in. It must be mine.
Do you honestly think you're going to see the day come in this world where the majority of people understand what they are? Goya?
No, it's never more than 5%, never has been, never will be. The best you can hope for is 5%, because 5% can change things. It can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, hopefully, with RBN, you might have 2 or 3, and you're working your way up. You are doing good, and I appreciate everything you guys are doing, but like I say, in my own opinion, this is my own humble opinion, 5% is about the best you can hope for, but 5% can change things.
Well, there was only
400 Jewish Trotskyites, and that was financed by...
Look at the Bolshevik Revolution.
Right, that they'd sent out of New York to control, and it took control of the whole Russian Empire.
Yes.
So that's much less than 5%. That wasn't even 0.1%, and they done it, but... You know, you have to have determined people, and that's the problem. That's the problem I have.
Well, all it takes for evil to prosper is for good people to do nothing.
Absolutely, you're raising.
Let Mike say a couple of words now.
It's very interesting that Jim made this point, because one of my bad habits that I've accumulated over the last 30 years.
Yes.
Is I tend to read a lot over lunch and dinner, and usually it does create a little bit of indigestion, but. But I tell you something, I came across a little item that I meant to comment on for a long, long time on my own program. And, you know, as much as I rant and rave about the substantial Jewish wealth behind the pro-Israel lobby and behind so much of the Zionist intrigue in America, one thing that we have to keep in mind is something that a lot of people tend to forget, and that's this rather odd little fact that a massive amount of the funding for the what we call the neoconservative movement in America comes from a Pittsburgh billionaire named Richard Mellon Scaife. Now, Richard Mellon Scaife, to the best of my knowledge, doesn't have a drop of Jewish blood in his veins. And it's largely irrelevant as to whether he does or not. But here's the point. Richard Mellon Scaife has been the trough from which so many of these organizations that we call the neoconservative elements have received their funding over the last, 40 years. Richard Mellon Scaife has been one of your conventional conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
He comes from an old line WASP family. Forgive me for using that racist terminology, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
That's okay.
And he has been, his billions have been the source of money for a lot of these organizations that have been taken over by the Zionists.
Mm-hmm.
And he has sat back very comfortably with all of his billions as his resources have been used by these foundations and think tanks to corrupt the American system. Now, whether he is doing this because he is fundamentally and philosophically a Zionist, or whether he is just doing this because he doesn't realize what's happening. But the fact is, he is a major source of money for all of this. And that's something that a lot of people are not aware of.
And he's not alone.
And he's not alone.
Thank you, Jim, for your call. Appreciate it. We'll be right back with more calls from Mike Piper. You can stay, Mike, can't you?
I can stay.
Good. We'll be back with a final half hour in just 3 minutes. I'm Rick Adams.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
The first step in winning the war? Spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on RBNLive.com.
All right, okay. I have to hold this whole act together here, ladies and gentlemen. We're divergent tonight. We're going all over the world. Well, anyway. We don't have too much more time, Mike, but I guess you're having as much fun as I'm having.
Yeah, what can I say?
We're really getting into some gut-level, real issues. Like, you know, like if I ask you what makes Mike Collins Piper tick, what would you say to that question? What makes Mike Piper tick?
That's a very good
question.
What does
he live and breathe for? What does Mike exist for?
Well, I tell you what, I'm smoking a cigar for the first time in about 2 weeks. I guess I'd have to say cigars anyway.
Good for you. You know, you're breaking the kosher smoking laws.
I break a lot of laws, moral, political, ethical, legal, you name it. That's what makes me tick.
I always wondered why a guy like Charlie Baxt here in Rhode Island, of the Provida Urinal, who's one of the most kosher of Jewish voices, who's for killing all the babies, all the children, why he would be so concerned about secondhand smoke for children? And why would he be so concerned as to be part of this movement to ban smoking across the United States? Well, I realize what it's all about. It's all about control. It's all about the New World Order and getting used to Big Brother coming into your life, isn't it, Mike?
You know, that's what it comes back to. I mentioned this earlier about this Supreme Court case. I mentioned this, I believe, on my own program, mm-hmm. and I'll mention it again here. This Supreme Court case that's now being argued,
yep.
they're arguing whether or not students should be allowed to... Well, this student in Colorado, I believe...
Mm-hmm. The bong.
Yeah, he said, take a bong hit for Jesus. Well, you know, that's deliberately provoking both people who don't like making fun of Jesus and also people who don't like drugs. And then when you combine Jesus and drugs, it's very offensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem with that.
Yeah.
When you start drawing the line in certain areas and saying, well, you can't discuss this in an academic situation, you open the door to say, well, you can't discuss Israel, you can't discuss Zionism, you can't discuss gun control, whatever your favorite issue is. And so there are people who are going to say, well, I don't like him talking about drugs and Jesus, but he's allowed to talk about this or that. You know, and that's why I believe in the openness and freedom of discussion as mm-hmm. long as you maintain it on a civilized level, as long as you, basically deal with issues, and as long as you can keep it, you know, on an intellectual level. But the problem is there are so many people who want to ban freedom of speech for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real problem. You know, we have to, you know, there are places where obviously you need to draw the line, I guess. And as I said earlier, you know, on my own program, I said, you know, you can't have people coming up advocating child abuse. I mean, there are laws against that. It's wrong in any sense, morally, legally, and so forth. But if you start then saying, well, you can't discuss this, you can't discuss that, then there's a problem. And I'm afraid, or no, I shouldn't say I am afraid. I should say what is happening now is that the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith and other Zionist organizations are very slowly but surely encroaching on our freedoms and on our rights
mm-hmm.
and using these hate crimes laws and laws against Holocaust denial.
And even such seemingly good things like banning smoking in public places, it sets the stage for banning other things.
Exactly.
This is what it's all about, control.
Yeah, I mean, Rick, I don't like cigarette smoke.
I've never smoked in my life.
Yeah,
That's not the point.
I smoke cigars, but I've never been able to smoke cigars in bars or in restaurants, barely even in public,
mm-hmm.
because most people don't like cigar smoke. But I'm not going to say, well, I don't like cigarette smoke, so therefore it needs to be banned. But the whole point is, and I think you made this point well,
mm-hmm.
is that what happens is people get accustomed to using the power of government
right.
to suppress what they don't like. And then the problem comes that one day they're confronted with the reality that what they like, whatever it happens to be, is going to be outlawed. And people become accustomed to allowing the government to come in and lay down laws that say you can't do this, you can't say that. And that's a problem.
Yeah. And ironically, while you, as a as a revisionist quote-unquote historian, might be banned under those so-called tolerance and hate speech laws, the very people that seek to do that are making it a mandate that they be in the driver's seat
exactly.
of those programs. So you see who's behind the control here. Again, it comes back to the Kenites.
Well, you know, back during the 1920s, you know, or actually before the 1920s, you know, they outlawed liquor in this country. Now, I'm all in favor of having a drinky winky, but I'll tell you what, what happened in the United States in the 1920s
yep.
is that drinking alcoholic beverages took off like a railroad train out of control,
mm-hmm.
and organized crime forces came in and took it over.
Yep.
Just like during World War II, we had all sorts of laws, you know, saying that people couldn't consume this or couldn't do that. Organized crime forces came in and took over the black market.
And the rationing and all of that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it became a black market. And
exactly.
And that's what they're doing today. I had a friend that said years ago, he said he went... he started smoking because the government said you shouldn't. And then he got all confused because he said then the government started taxing the cigarettes to the highest level so that would help fund the program. So he quit smoking again.
I like that guy. I'd like to meet him
sometime. Well, he's dead now. But he died when he quit smoking, actually.
That's right.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We've got John in Minnesota, I believe. Hello, John. Hey, John.
Greetings, guys.
Yes.
A couple of quickies. At the end of World War II, there was a tremendous amount of the paperwork was supposed to be shipped to Russia. A friend of mine, a captain, and a master sergeant and a tech were in charge of that operation. They felt it was so bad that what they did was they backed a huge tanker into that bunker, dumped the contents of the tanker in that bunker, and torched the place.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little piece of history you don't see.
Mm.
Yeah, it sounds to me like what happened was there were some patriotic Americans inside the government or inside some official capacity, and they said, we're not going to play along with this treason, and we're going to put an end to it. And, you know, I'll tell you what, John, I think that's what's happening in the United States today. There are good people in the government, in the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, the Justice Department, all around, who are doing what they can to try to frustrate the misdeeds of the Zionists.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, they're seeing the handwriting on the wall, and that is that, you know, if this goes down, we all go down.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But, another little piece of history that you don't see. At the end of World War II, we had the trials. One of the things was that we from Norway wanted to catch up with those people in Norway who had done the number on us. And one of the... We almost ran up against the deadline where we could not prosecute these people. And a friend of ours found the diary of Mr. Goldberg, who was the head of the educational department, who was a right-hand man to Adolf Hitler. And by his diary, we established the connection between Adolf Hitler and the problem in Norway.
Now, what does that mean specifically? I don't know where you're going with that.
Well, the point being is that we talk about Hitler was out there to kill all the Jews. Well, there happened to be one Jew that was his right-hand buddy.
Well, there were hundreds of them, thousands, actually, with him.
But
yeah.
This is one that I have personal knowledge of because it's part of my family history.
Did you ever read the book Hitler's Jewish Soldiers? Mike, you probably have.
Yes, I have that book. Very interesting book, yeah.
That's something that you see. I remember reading just not too many months ago some a columnist for the New York Times poo-pooing all of this and suggesting that it isn't really true when you hear these stories. And here's the documentation, not only by people like the author of this book, but then you've got people like Mr. Black, you know, who wrote the book about the transfer.
Black.
Edwin Black, the transfer agreement, where Hitler and Germany was actually blackmailed by the Zionists, as you know, into an economic boycott of Germany. And then they said, well, let's do something. Let's get you into Palestine, and let's have your own state. Hitler was the best Zionist that you could ever have imagined being.
You see, that's the dirty little secret of World War II. Adolf Hitler, for his own reasons, lent his support to the Zionist movement because what Hitler's program was, frankly, was to get the Jews out of Europe.
transfers.
Yes, exactly. And what happened was, you know, by quirk of fate, by historical reality, the Zionist movement realized that the best way for them, for the Zionist movement, to get Jews from Europe to Palestine was to support the Nazi government because their interests converged.
Isn't that incredible? But
yeah,
true.
And you know, people don't want to discuss this, but, you know, it's a reality.
Well, and that's the point. History is history, and I don't like comic books. Anyhow,
okay.
Later. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you for calling.
I'll send that to both of you. I've
sure.
got the article. I'll dig it out of my archives.
All right, John. Thanks for your call to the program for Mike Piper, my guest. And Dave in Texas is now next. Hello, Dave.
Hi, it's Dave in Texas. How y'all doing?
How you doing tonight, Dave?
We're doing just fine. How are you, Dave?
A couple of quick comments and some, I'll try to make it very quick, observations about your talk about Eisenhower, among other things, earlier.
Yes.
I was going to say that it's my understanding that Joseph Dagashvili was Georgian, and I don't know that he was of any Jewish descent, at least that I'm aware of, first of all. Second of all, in terms of just looking forward as of where we're at in a nation now, talking about how my mind ticks, I'm an American patriot, an American nationalist. I want our country to maintain our sovereignty and our independence and not lose out. I don't want any foreigners to buy any of our highways or our infrastructure. I don't want them to send illegals into our country. And all illegals, I think, should be made to leave.
You sound like a terrorist, Dave.
No, I'm not.
That's what George Bush would call you, a terrorist.
Well, what I would call him might not be available for family programming, so I won't say. But I'm for Ron Paul for president for next time, given the choices. I think he's the best available choice. I actually do support, as I understand, his doctrine of strict constructionism. And I'm actually willing to take having a much smaller government and much less spending, much less taxing, much less bureaucracy, and if any taxes that are going to be raised, they should be apportioned through the states and not raised directly from the federal government without apportionment. Mm-hmm. And we need to get back to direct representative government that we've lost for some decades now. We do need to phase out the Federal Reserve. We do need to put the dollar back on the gold standard, in my opinion. And we need to do a lot of those kind of things. I was going to say, looking at it that way, ironically, and I'm not an expert on all the aspects of Eisenhower's background and his motivations, and there may be a dark side to Eisenhower I was not aware of.
Maybe.
If I may, can I say something quickly about this?
Sure.
I was given the all-American historical education about Eisenhower as kind of the national hero, and I may be uninformed as to the totality of his career, but I can say at least what I was understood the good things about the Eisenhower era, at least, if nothing else. We, as a nation, we were able to produce all our own food and export enough food that we could have fed the entire world just from America's own agriculture output. We were totally self-sufficient in our industrial output, and we had a massive trade surplus for the rest of the world, not a massive trade deficit. We were self-sufficient in everything. We built most of the post-World War II middle class during the Eisenhower years, and it held on in only recent years that it's been being undermined. Now, maybe there's a dark chapter Eisenhower, and if he did some bad things...
Well, I still don't understand how, you know, you're attributing these things to Eisenhower?
Well, certainly they at least...
I mean, did he wave a magic wand and...
...the national highway system, which were free roads...
Yeah, and where did he get that from? Germany. Another idea he stole from Germany. Mike, you should
know,
be
familiar. You know, my reaction, and I understand where the caller's coming from, my reaction, my gut feeling here is that I think basically what happened during the Eisenhower era, these things that he's talking about, are the direct consequences of the massive military buildup here in the United States that set the stage for these things that happened after Eisenhower. You know, remember, Eisenhower only became president just a few years after World War II, and he was kind of riding on the crest of all of these things. And, you know, while they may have taken place under his era, in the bigger picture, if you look at Eisenhower, he really did so much to prevent the people who wanted to restore our constitutional basis, our constitutional foundation. He prevented that from happening. He maintained big government. He maintained the war economy. He maintained the New Deal bureaucracy. when he had the opportunity to curtail it.
And Eisenhower broke new ground, actually, with regard to invasion. I mean, he helped the Russians invade and take over Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, and so forth. He also invaded the sovereign state of Arkansas to enforce a Supreme Court decision which was unlawful and illegal in 1957.
He also murdered. He also murdered, for all intents and purposes, probably millions of Germans.
Oh, he was
in concentration camps that were maintained, not just Germans, but people who had fought for Germany in the Waffen-SS.
Yeah, I have the book, The Other Losses. That
James
was,
Bach, yes,
right,
exactly.
James Bach's that, book, yes.
That whole story about Eisenhower, there's, you know, that's the funny thing. It comes back to what I said earlier.
Yes.
Eisenhower comes across as such an innocuous, grandfatherly type.
Just as the media created that image of him.
Exactly.
Perfect lies and perfect distortions. And the caller, you're in that probably that time lark where you just fell victim, as we all did, who didn't know any better at the time, to this image, this fatherly image of a quiet, innocent era. You know, the innocent 50s, we were told. Well, it wasn't so innocent for the people living in the Iron Curtain and the people who were going to be taken over in Cuba by Eisenhower and his own ambassador, Earl Smith, named the United States government as the culprit why Cuba went communist. So just bear all that in mind, and as Mike says, look at the greater picture.
Can I say that he did get us out of Korea, and he also opposed Israel the 56 Suez Crisis.
Okay, you can say it, but we got to take a break. Thank you, Mike. We'll be back and comment on that as well. Stay tuned for more on RBNLive.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420 and see why doctors in 5 countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420 or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Get Back at 'Em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, quickly, we'll take a quick final call or two. But, you know, Mike, you might want to respond to how great the last caller's statement that Eisenhower pulled us out of Korea. And was that a good thing? Let's see now. How many American soldiers died?
You know,
it was 53,000, wasn't it?
That whole thing in Korea, my feeling is we should have never gone in there in the first place because we were programmed to lose from the beginning.
Well, like Dan Smoot says, if there hadn't been for a Soviet victory in World War II, there would have been no rape of Manchuria. There would have been no Korea.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm really convinced that the Cold War was a fraud from the get-go because, you know, beginning in about 1922, or was it 1925, the Chase Manhattan Bank had an office in Moscow, and they maintained that office in Moscow from 1925 until at least 1985, and it's probably still there today.
You know, it's all dialectical, Mike, as we know. Everybody's been taken for a big ride, and now the enemy is no longer communism or Nazism. Now it's Islamofascism. When will we ever learn? All
yeah.
right, let's take Gloria from New York. Hello, Gloria. Is that you, Gloria? Are
Together.
You brief? Here you are.
Thank you. I wanted to respond to a man who called earlier and said, was talking about the Jews being the rod of his anger.
Mm-hmm.
And, but let's not forget that Jesus also said, you brood of vipers, how shall you escape the sentence of hell?
Right.
But on that note, I also want to talk about somebody named Jack Otto. He's got a great show on. I wish one of you guys would have him on as a guest. Well, he was naming off.
Who the heck is Jack Otto? I haven't heard.
Yes. Jack Otto, he's on RBN.
Oh, he's on our network?
Yes.
That goes to show you how much I know.
He is incredible.
Oh, okay.
He has so much knowledge, and it would be great for one of you guys to have him on your show. Well, he mentioned a lot of good Jews. I mean, incredible. He just named off a bunch of names. And, you know, Rabbi Entelman, Jack Bernstein, Rabbi Elmer Berger. You know, Myron Fagan, Seth Farber, Charles Fishbane, Ben Friedman, David Irving, Henry Klein, who I read about in the CDL report, how his own people killed him. They poisoned him, and I just cried. It was a sad story.
All right.
Eric Levin, you know, Alfred Rosenberger. Anyway, there are really incredible, fantastic Jews out there that are working, you know, to expose the evil, to tell the truth. There are Jews right now in the RBN network, AFP, American Free Press. I just wanted to let people know that these are incredible, noble men. Right now there is a Jew in Israel who is under house arrest for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you remember that?
Yes.
Yes, he was exposing the nuclear
Marcus.
Secrets.
Yes.
Okay.
Mordecai Ivanunu you're talking about.
That's the one. I couldn't think of his name.
Gloria, you mentioned Charles Fishbine. He used to write for the Spotlight. And you know what? I hadn't heard from Chuck Fishbine in quite a few years. And I'm going to be getting in touch with Chuck.
Good.
He used to be a major fundraiser for some of the Jewish organizations. And he turned against Israel and Zionism when he took his adopted son, who was a black child, the son of a black father and a Vietnamese mother. He tried to take that child into Israel. They wouldn't let his child into Israel.
Ooh, in a democracy and pluralist state, huh? Well, that should be big news, but it wasn't. Hey, Gloria, we're out of time. Thank you. Sorry.
Thanks.
Those of you on the line, we couldn't get to you. But, Mike, this is a fabulous show. Now, don't wait another 3 years to come back.
You know, Rick, one night we're going to have a marathon. I'm going to have you on as my guest, and we'll just roll into your hours and have some fun.
We'll do it. Okay. Mike, thank you, Mike Piper.
All right. Thanks,
all right. Good night now.
Everybody there.
Amen. Good night, everybody. We'll see you, Lord willing, tomorrow night at 9 Central. Rick Adams, goodbye. All right, Marcus.
You got hit.